ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ತಿಲಯ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶೀಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ರಾಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರವ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಬರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಮ ಶುಭದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಾಯಿ ಭೂದಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣೆ ನರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂದಿಯಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಹಿರಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣೇ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಹಿರಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ಶುಭಾನವಿ ದೇವಿ ದೈದಾಯ ಕೃಪಾಭಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಂ ದಾಯಿದೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ವಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾದ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಕರುಣಾ ಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದೀನತಾರಿಣಿ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾವ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ದ್ವಾಂದಹಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರಸಾಂಬೋಧೇ ಪಾದಾಂಬುಜಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪನೋ ಗೌರಾಯ ದೇ ಗೌರಾವಿರ್ಭವ ಭೂಮೇ ಸ್ವಂ ನಿರ್ದೋಷ್ಟ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಪ್ರಿಯಾಃ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸಾರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ವಂಶಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯದೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಘ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿಂ ಭಕ್ತಸಾತ್ವಿಕಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಗಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ಜಯದಾಂ ಸುರದೌಭಾಂಗೋರ್ ಮಮ ಮಂದಮದೇರ್ಗದಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ಯ ಪದಾಂಭೋಜೌ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನೌ ದಿವ್ಯವೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದೌ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವೋ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಟಾಳಿಭಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೌ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರಾಸರಸಾರಂಭಿ ವಂಶೀ ವಟತಟಸ್ಥಿತ ಕರ್ಷನ್ ವೇಣುಸ್ವನೇರ್ಗೋಭೈರ್ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ರೇಯಸ್ತುನಾಂ ತಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ಪ್ರಷಭಾನುಸುದೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
ಹರೇ ಹರೇ Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we'll continue with Isha Upanishad today. As I said, till we finish this first verse in the Isha Upanishad, we'll continue for the next few classes. Then we'll come back to Bhakti Sutram again. So I was thinking, this year also, it looks that the Christmas is on a Sunday in 2011. It's on a Sunday. That means Boxing Day, Monday, 26th is also a holiday. Then the Saturday, 31st and 1st and 2nd will also be holiday because of the... So, I was thinking if we get that 1 week for together, we could finish one chapter of Bhagavad Gita throughout that 1 week. If that's I have in mind. If it happens, it'll happen. But because... to all these literature, although we are studying separately, Bhagavad Gita, Isha Upanishad, Bhagavatam, and other books also, in principle there is only one message. And that message is spoken through different angles. That's all it is. It's not that they are all different things they are talking about. They are not talking about different things. There is only one message to be spoken about self-realization, that's all. Realizing oneself what we are, that is the goal, that is... And our key literature in all this is Bhagavad Gita. So if we have a thorough understanding, I mean an in-depth understanding of Bhagavad Gita, it helps a lot for all the other, studying all other books as well. Like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is actually practically no difference. From the spiritual point of view, there is no difference. It's only in the way it is presented, there is difference. But the message that is in the Bhagavad Gita is exactly the same in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no difference at all. So, that is why it's good to know Bhagavad Gita as deeper as possible because that is our key literature. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's, the ABC as Prabhupada calls it as the spiritual knowledge. ABC of spiritual knowledge is Bhagavad Gita. So, Bhagavad Gita we have to study very well. And therefore, I was just thinking that if we get that 1 week, that is the last week of December, with the New Year holidays together, 7 days time, 7 or 8 days, we'll get it. We should be able to complete at least one chapter in that every day if we do it for 2-3 hours, something like that. So I have this chapter in mind, 16th chapter. Why 16th? Actually, Bhagavad Gita finishes at 15th. If you look carefully, you will notice it. The message is over at 15th. 16th and 17th chapters is what we call as Upangam. Upangam means, in order to supplement the knowledge what's been spoken before, Krishna has taken two different topics, Devasura Sambhad Vibhaga Yogam and Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yogam. The two chapters, 16th and 17th, as an explanation or preparing oneself for the knowledge what Krishna has spoken before, in order to prepare oneself, Krishna talks about that 16th and 17th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. And Devasura Sambhad Vibhaga Yoga, which means that the divine and the demoniac nature. That is the 16th chapter. And the last one, 18th chapter, is practically a conclusion of everything what has been spoken in the 17 chapters before. So I was just thinking that we could do that 16th chapter at that time. Of course, it's another whole year ahead. But it's just to keep in mind that that's our plan, to do that 16th chapter at the Christmas holidays next year, this end of this year. And if we get 1 week, we should be able to finish that one chapter. in that whole week, provided we get about 3 hours a day or so. So that'll keep us busy for the Christmas as well. Anyway, so going back to Ishopanishad, as I mentioned last time, that the Ishopanishads has got this famous invocation prayers, which everybody knows. Om Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purna Purnamudachyate, Purnasya Purnam Adaya, Purnam Evavashishyate, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Everybody hears these words, but I don't know how many people really have understood that verse properly, because that verse itself is a summary of Ishopanishad. That's how the sages spoke about it. Purnamadam, Purnamidam. Everything is complete, it says, isn't it? That's complete, this is complete. And if you take the complete from the complete, remaining is also complete. We know all the translation and everything. But when it comes to the practical understanding of that verse, there is a lot behind it. The sages were so experts in saying things in such a way that that they wanted to get through the whole message of Vedanta philosophy through that verse of Purnamadam Purnamidam. The same verse comes in Brihadaranyaka also. In Brihadaranyaka, it's again the same invocation prayers. You will see invocation prayers in all the Upanishads. Basically, invocation prayers are necessary before a subject like related to self-realization is spoken. So other Upanishads have different Upanishad mantras. They have different mantras. So here, as I said before, that the sages have this special nature. They don't want to reveal their identity. They are not important for as far as they are concerned. It's not important. Important thing is the message is important, so that others also get the same benefit, what they have got from the benefit. Because as far as they are concerned, this material body, mind, intelligence, these are all temporary cover-ups on the soul. Comes and goes, comes and goes. It can happen few lifetimes, it can all finish in one lifetime. So if you want to give an identity to someone, it can only be on the spiritual identity, spiritual platform. Somebody, anyone we have to refer to as is only on the spiritual platform, as the soul. And there is no separate identity like that on a spiritual platform. Just like we are so used to this bodily identification that we give importance to that all the time. The sages haven't got any value for it. They haven't got any interest in that to identify anything with the body. So therefore, this this Ishopanishad comes in the Yajurveda. It comes in the, you know that we have Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Adharanavedam, four Vedas. Out of that, it is in the Yajurvedam this Ishopanishad comes. It has got two parts. Yajurvedam has got two parts. One is Krishna Yajurvedam and the other one is Shukla Yajurvedam. Black Yajurvedam and white Yajurvedam, as it's called. Like we say, anything you want to talk about black, we say it's Krishna. Anything you want to say about white, it's Balram. So in the black economy, they call it Krishna economy. The white economy is called Balram economy, in the same way. So Yajurvedam also has got two things, Krishna Yajurvedam and Shukla Yajurvedam. So in Shukla Yajurvedam, in the Samhita portion comes Ishopanishad, Ishavasya Upanishad. Now there is another important Upanishad which comes from Shukla Yajurvedam, which is called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So Brihadaranyaka Upanishad comes from the comes from the Brahmana portion, mantra portion, and the Ishavasya Upanishad comes from the Samhita portion of the Shukla Yajurvedam. So therefore, there's a lot of importance given to Ishopanishad, and Ishopanishad, it comes from the Shukla Yajurvedam. Shukla Yajurvedam has another name, it's called Vajasaneya Samhita. Why is it called Vajasaneya? Vajasaneya means, Vajasaneya means the sun god, sun. It was spoken by him, and it was spoken to whom? To Yajnavalkya Maharshi. Yajnavalkya Maharshi heard this Vajasaneya Samhita, as it is called Shukla Yajurvedam, from the sun god, from Vivaswan. He got it directly. Vajam Annam Dadadi. Therefore, Vajasaneya, the name has come. So, Vajasaneyam. Vajam annam dadadi. Son's name is Vajasaneyam. Another name given to him. So, therefore, because it is in the Samhita portion, and there is not so much mix up of the Brahmana portions or the Mantra portions from there, this is called Shukla Yajurvedam. In Krishna Yajurvedam, there is Brahmanas and the Mantras are mixed up together. What does this Mantra and Brahmana means? Mantra Brahmana means, Brahmanas, a lot of it is related to Karmagandam. So there is a mix up of the Mantras and the Karmagandam in the Krishna Yajurvedam. Whereas in the Samhita portion of the Shukla Yajurvedam, there is no mix up. It is completely spiritual knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self that's spoken there. There's no mix-up of the Karmagandam there. And therefore, it's given more importance. The Ishopanishad is given more importance. There is no mix-up of the Karmagandam there. You have to remember, Vedas are generally mostly refers to Karmagandam. Karmagandam is the main topic discussed in the Vedas, as such. It's only the Upanishads part that is spoken separately about the self-realization part. So this Upanishad is what we are going to look at. This Upanishad, Ijavasya Upanishad, is what we are going to look at. So beginning this Upanishad is with this famous mantra, Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnam Purnamadachyade Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyade. The amount of commentaries on this verse is unlimited. People have given such exhaustive commentaries on that. Mainly because this particular verse in the invocation prayers or the Ishopanishad is a very essence of the Vedanta philosophy. Very essence of the Vedanta philosophy. If you understand it, you will appreciate the thoughts that has gone behind it from the sages. So, so this Upanishad begins with this word Purnam, isn't it? Purnam. So, this Purnam, Purnam means what? Purnam means complete, isn't it? Purnam means complete. That's what Purnam, the word means. So, why does he say Purnam? Purnam means, if you look at it this way, that we are all complete in ourselves. Actually, it's a big misunderstanding in our head that I have to get something so that I am complete. Or I have something else I have to achieve. I have to attain something. I have to acquire some knowledge. I have to acquire some property. Or I have to acquire some wealth so that I can be complete. It is this, what we are actually looking for in life is this completion, isn't it? Completion means what? A fulfillment. So that you stop your desire from after that. That you're complete in itself. That is the symptom of a person who is complete, that he has no desires after that. All desires come to an end. If the desires are not finished, further desires are developing, it means the person is not complete, he is a beggar still. He's still a beggar because of the desires. So therefore, that is why they use this word Purnam in the beginning. Purnam means complete. Our problem at the moment is because we don't know who we are and wandering around in this world under different bodies, different identities and different designations, we feel an incompleteness in us. Upanishad's point to us is first thing is recognize who you are. You are a complete person. Person in the sense that in your spiritual position you are complete. Nothing requires further. And this is all what the gurus have to teach to the disciple also. That our true identity is what we are complete in ourselves. But the body, the mind, intelligence, false ego, they are all things which have come upon us due to our ajnanam, ignorance, isn't it? Ajnanam. That is, this thing, this understanding or conviction or acceptance is a very basic requirement in the Vedic philosophy. To understand that we are complete. We don't need anything from outside. Why do we need this? Why do we have this urge to do so many things, karmam, and to acquire this thing, acquire that thing, feeling that I have to get some knowledge, I have to become self-realized. From that knowledge, all this is called ajnanam. All this is called ajnanam. So long as ajnanam is there, we experience an incompleteness in us. Purnada is not there. Purnada is not there. And why do we go to university and colleges and all that? Because we think we have to get something, knowledge from there, isn't it? And that is a problem. Because when we have that deep, in a deeper level, that understanding that, oh, I have to get some knowledge, I have to get this knowledge, I have to get the knowledge. That knowledge won't help us in self-realization. In other words, all the knowledge what we acquire from the external world is of no use to us in realizing the self is concerned. Every great jnani or a great devotee, you will see that they didn't go to university. This is the first thing. Those who got university means he's in trouble. In the sense that it's not that we are condemning the university education. You have to understand that. University education is nothing but scientific education, as it's called. It is the knowledge of the world outside. Where science finishes, Upanishads begin. Where science finishes, Upanishads begin. Upanishads knowledge is all inside. It's already there in a person, in everybody. We are complete. Krishna has completely created us in such a way that by creation itself we are complete. The knowledge of the self is already there. But because we got ourselves entangled with the so-called knowledge what we have created, we lost that identity of our own spiritual identity or the knowledge of the self what we have lost. And this completeness in us is there all the time. Is there all the time. We call it as Sotasiddham. Sotasiddham means it's there by nature. We are complete ourselves. To understand this, you will only recognize this when we complete the whole study of this Upanishad, Ishopanishad. When we complete the whole study of the Upanishad, then you will realize that this verse is very significant. This invocation prayers in the Bhagavata. Only at that time you will understand this. Purnamadam Purnamidam means it's complete here, it's complete there. And from Purnam, from complete comes the complete. Purnal Purnamudachyate. From complete comes the complete. Purnasyam Purnam Adaya. If you take the Purnam, complete, from the complete, Purnam Eva Vashishyate. Only complete remains. This verse is a mystery, isn't it? People always think, what does this all mean? Everybody asks that question. I don't know how many people have really thought about that. What does that actually mean? There's complete. You take complete from the complete and complete remains. What does that mean? So that's why this is a very important verse in the Upanishad. As far as Upanishads are concerned, there is only reality is the self, the soul. And that soul is the only reality. Soul is the only reality, and that soul is complete. Soul is complete. And from that soul come so many things and disappears into the same thing. Soul exists, which is in the Bhagavad Gita referred to as Brahmam. Isn't it? Brahmam. Brahma Satyam, Jagat Mithya, and all these statements you have seen. Isn't it? So that Brahmam or the soul, that alone exists. From there, so many things comes, they live within that Brahmam and eventually they dissolve into that Brahmam. This is the point. That originally the screen exists. On the screen, a lot of films are shown, movies are shown on that. After the movie comes, movie is shown on the screen, afterwards the movie goes away. The screen exists. Isn't it? In the same way, Krishna's creation is also like that. The very basis of all this creation is what? The soul. Soul is the one, Brahman, is the basis of which everything is created. And that Brahman or the soul, it is to be understood only through one process. What is that? Awareness. Isn't it? Awareness, the awareness or bodham. Bodham, as it is referred to, is the key to understand the presence of the soul. awareness, isn't it? So many times we have spoken about this awareness. You may think, why I'm keep on repeating this. Reason is this, that when we don't take these fundamentals of Vedantam seriously, Upanishads are difficult to follow through. Just like here, it says here, everything that is born, that this bodham, consciousness or awareness all the time exists. From there comes many, many things. Gross intelligence comes from that, from the soul. From the soul, intelligence, mind comes. Body comes from that. From the mind, body comes. That you know how it is, isn't it? It's based on the subtle body, the gross body has come. Is it not? You know, the subtle body is the cause of this gross body. According to one's desires, thoughts inside, the subtle body exists. And subtle body has created this gross body. So in other words, gross body is a manifestation of the subtle body. And the mind is the subtle body, isn't it? Mainly it's called the mind. And this mind is a product of the intelligence. How do you know that? We all say like this, isn't it? In Bhagavad Gita also, we say, oh, the buddhi, indriyani paranyahu indriyabhi paramana manasastu para buddheyo buddhe paradastu sa. We will read all these verses. What do we say? Sense objects are superior to senses, dhali superior, mind is superior to the senses, intelligence is superior to the mind, and soul is superior to the intelligence. We say that. But have we ever thought about this? What does it all mean? It is like this. Just like the gross body is a product of the mind, mind is a product of the intelligence. You may wonder how it is happens like that. For example, just give you an example, you'll understand that. See, suppose a man who is doing business, say he is a fruit merchant or a vegetable merchant, right? And if he is a fruit merchant or a vegetable merchant, whatever he is doing, his whole thoughts and actions will be centered around fruits and vegetables, isn't it? All the time he'll be thinking about the prices, fruits and vegetables in the market, availability, suppliers and customers, all in terms of fruits and vegetables, is it not? In other words, his mind is centered around this one activity of selling fruits and vegetables. See, after 10 years or so, he did this business. He switched off his business of fruits and vegetables. He turned to become a cloth merchant. He became a cloth merchant. Now, what happens in his mind? The changes. Changes happen that he is not doing any more vegetable or fruits. Now he is doing clothes. So naturally, all his thoughts and activities, my mind will be centered around the cloth business. So initially, he was engaged in the business of fruits and vegetables. Who made that decision? The intelligence made the decision. Intelligence made the decision, handed over to the mind, and mind got absorbed in the thoughts of that. Intelligence took the decision to switch on to clothes. Mind has to follow that. This is the reason why we say that indriyani paranyahu indriyebhi paramana manasastu para buddhe. Buddhi makes the decision on behalf for the intelligence. Intelligence makes the decision for the sake of the mind, and mind has to follow. Mind has no other choice. Mind has no other choice. What intelligence behind? And that is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, remember in the second chapter, Krishna kept on hammering this into your head. Make that decision in the intelligence, not in the mind, in the intelligence. If the intelligence makes that decision, that this is what I want in life, spiritual life. I want to realize the self before this body drops away, goes away. And that firm decision, if it is done on the intelligence, through the intelligence, it will have its effect on the mind. So you can see how intelligence controls the mind. So this is for this reason alone, mind has caused this problem, gross body. Gross body is a product of the mind. Similarly, mind is a product of the intelligence. Now, all these things are gradual development from the soul. From the soul comes the intelligence. From the soul comes the jiva. Jiva comes from the soul, isn't it? Jiva is also a product of the soul. Jiva's presence in this world is nothing but soul in another form of pranam. And similarly, intelligence also. Similarly, the mind. Similarly, the gross body. They are all the products. They have come, they will exist for some time in the background of the soul, and they will dissolve into the soul at the end. Our life is over. Our life is over. So this is what we are living in this world. This is our existence practically. The soul is the screen behind. In that soul, all these things are happening. That's why it's given so much importance. Now, why Upanishad says that soul is complete? It's Purnam. Always Purnam. Always complete. From him, all these things, manifestations happen. In his presence, it can function. In his presence, it can function. And in his presence, he will disappear. Which one? The body will disappear, the mind will disappear, the intelligence will also disappear one day. They are all temporary existence of the soul. So this understanding that the whatever that's coming from that is also the same thing. You see? What is that coming from the soul? This body, mind, intelligence and all that, they are not new things. Why? Body is a mixture of two, the soul and the matter, isn't it? Prakriti and Purusha. Purusha in the soul and Prakriti. So soul, when he accepts this material body, is the same soul, matter or Prakriti that has come from the soul. It has come from the soul. So all that, the soul is come in a different form and shape in front of us. And that's why it's called Namarupam. If you study Bhagavatam, you will see this discussed in many places. Namarupam. Name and the form. Different names, different forms exist in this world. So the very basic or the very the foundation of all these things is the soul. It is from the soul all these things have come about. It stands there and it stays for some time, it disappears into the same thing. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the same message in the beginning, Janmadhyasya Yataha. Janmadhyasya Yataha. That thing, that satyam from which all these things have taken birth, that's that. That's what Bhagavatam is saying, Satyam Bharam Dimahi. Janmadhyasya Yadonvaya Idara Sarteshu Abhijna Swarad. That thing is Swarad. Which is Swarad? That soul is Swarad. Soul is Swarad. He is completely independent. From him, anything can happen. Anything can manifest in this world. But eventually they all have to go back into the same thing, from where he came from. And it is him who is behind everything, the soul, who is permanent. Who is permanent. He is complete. He is always complete. And from him, many things will come out, but he remains complete. Even if anything you can take out of it, it is still complete. That's what that means. If anything comes out of it, still he is complete in itself. So that's why it says here, Janmadhyasya. So everything is born from him, stays in that, eventually goes back and dissolves into him. And it is one of the most striking knowledge this is. That acceptance of this. That there is a very basis for everything. And that basis is spiritual. Is soul. Basis is spiritual. Adhyalpam. Or spiritual it is. And it is from that spiritual nature that all these things have come. So if you accept that principle, that there is a basis existence of everything, as a soul is the fundamental existence, there cannot be any incompleteness in that. This is the principle. That thing from where everything has come, manifested in this world, and to whom and where it sustains in this world in different forms, different shapes, like we see, different names, different forms, Namarupam as it's called, and eventually where it all goes back to. And this is the Purnatvam. Apurnatva means completion of this. So, in that complete nature, an incompleteness cannot happen. So, this mantra, this Upanishad's mantra is telling us that if you cannot completely understand this, this mantra completely, if you cannot comprehend it, even if you take it on the basis of faith or belief, even if you accept it, you will escape from here. That is how potent that mantra is. Even if you accept it, what is that acceptance? Acceptance is this, that there is a fundamental basis from which everything has come. Everything has come. Everything has origin is from there. That origin is complete in itself. Anything what I see in this world has come from that. What Bhagavad Gita is saying, what Ishvarupanishad is saying, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying is not different. Srimad Bhagavatam puts it in one way, janmadyasya yataha. Janmam adiyasya yataha. That means, janma means it takes birth. Adiyasya yataha means that has taken birth and then it stays for some time and then it disappears everything. Everything disappears. But where is this all happening? It's happening in this basis of the soul, presence of the soul. In whose presence all this is happening? That is this consciousness or awareness as we are referred to. Janmadhyasya yatonvaya itaratas arteshu abhijna swarad. He is swarad. Who is swarad? This soul, the basis of everything, is completely independent. Completely independent. Devotees call that as Krishna. That's all it is. Jnanis calls us the soul. Do not get confused about this, saying that, oh, why is he saying like this, there it said like that. Don't ask that question, please, because that has no meaning. The same substance, devotees call that substance as Krishna. It is that substance who is Jnanis call as the soul. Janmadesa yatonvaya itaradas arteshu abhijna swarad. Abhijna, one who knows everything. Everything that is happening in this creation is known to that. How does he know? Because he is fully conscious of everybody. Our own consciousness is a part of that. It's coming from that. It's coming from that. We are limited now. Why are we limited? Because due to our ajnanam or ignorance, we have understood that we are this body. We have learned this and we have accepted it. Therefore, we are limited. Practically, once this bodily identification is lost and the spiritual identification comes back, we are not limited anymore. We are not anymore limited. Limitation has come up to us because of our own ignorance. In Vedantam, there is no reason except that lack of knowledge and realization as the cause of distress. There's no other reason for that. That is why science is increasing your knowledge of the external world, the knowledge of the world outside. It does not give you any idea about the presence of the soul and soul's activity, what the soul is all about. Once it so happened, you know there is a qualification called MA. Many people have MA, isn't it? So one young man, he had a very high qualification as in MA, a very high rank he had in the MA examination. And he went to Rishikesh and met one sannyasi there, a well-known sannyasi. So, and he wanted to study Vedantam there, in Rishikesh, he wanted to study Vedantam. So, he goes up to the sannyasis and says to him that I have come to study Vedantam, because it was well accepted that in the Vedic philosophy, Vedantam is the end of knowledge and in that sense is acceptable. So, when he went up to him and spoke to him about this, that his desire to study, so this Swamiji asked him, why do you know that you are qualified to study Vedantam? To study Vedantam. He says, I've got a MA, he said. I've got an MA degree, post-graduation, he said. MA, he said. So, Sannyasi, Swamiji told him, do you know what MA means? He said. So, that person was thinking, why is he asking me like this? He says, this MA means master of ajnanam. Yeah? Ignorance. Master of ignorance. So, spiritual life is nothing to do with the qualifications outside. It has no help at all. Actually, on the other hand, sometimes it's an impediment for us, for spiritual realization. Most of these university degrees, college qualifications and all, it makes our mind, too many chittavrittis develop, and it will create so many unwanted questions from inside. A very simple fact like this, Purnamada, Purnamidam, what sages are telling us, they will find it very difficult to accept it. They'll have some crooked question they will ask. How can that be? Everything is, have you seen it? Can you show it to me? If you ask all these questions, sages have no interest in replying that. Then they will say, you continue with your MA and PhD and all that and come back when you're ready. But this requires a different kind of maturity in life. That is what makes a person qualification for understanding the self, understanding the soul. It requires a different qualifications. All the other material qualifications are totally useless for knowing the self. What knowledge, self-knowledge, knowledge of the self requires a completely different qualifications, which we'll come to that later. Adhikari Vedatvam, it says Adhikari, Adhikaritvam. What is Adhikaritvam? Who is qualified to know the self? That Krishna discusses later in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, coming back to this, so, it says here that if we have accepted this, that there is a basis for everything, and that basis is consciousness. Pure. Because when we keep saying soul, 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 people ask this, what is this soul? How do we understand that? The way to understand the soul is awareness, consciousness. Consciousness is the soul. Consciousness is Brahman. It says that Prajnanam Brahma. There's one of the Mahavakyams there. Prajnanam Brahma. Consciousness is Brahman. It is only thing why they insist on this consciousness. It's a very important point. You may think, oh, it's such a simple thing. I'm keep repeating this again and again. There's a reason for it. You see, now this room has got the lights on. Suppose it's completely dark here. I am aware of all of you. You are aware of me sitting here. And we are all aware of everybody's presence here, isn't it? Suppose the room is completely dark. And suppose a few of you gets up and walk away from here. I won't be aware of that. Or if it is dark and I walk away from here, you won't be aware of that, isn't it? So awareness is, at the moment, is I am aware of my presence, my existence. You are aware of your existence. That is how much you are aware of, that's how much I am aware of. As soon as the light goes away, and if any of us leaves or comes to this room, we won't be aware of anything, is it not? But whether there is light or there is no light, my awareness of my existence is not going to change. I am always aware of my own existence. That is why it is said that in all three states also, this awareness of me always exists. Awareness of me always exists. So, Ishvamanish's point is, if you accept this, that the awareness as the symptom of the soul, awareness is the symptom of the soul. If you accept that, then the soul is the background in which everything else is happening. Everything else, anything you take in this world, it's all happening in this background of the soul, consciousness. Consciousness is in where everything is happening. Different material objects have come through the process of creation, isn't it? Material elements have come in the same way. Five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, they have come also in the same way from the soul. From the soul, they have come in a particular order. They have come Mahatattvam, Pradhanam Mahatattvam, like that, Satya Ahankaram, Rajas Ahankaram, Tamas Ahankaram, which you know in the Bhagavatam it is spoken, isn't it? In different modes of false ego, which comes out, mind comes something, intelligence comes, the senses come, and then the material elements come from different sources. So, what we are, according to Ishvanishad is saying here, that by the knowledge of the self, what we are going to understand at the end is this all-pervading nature or the presence of the soul in everything. That is called the knowledge of the soul, presence of the soul in everything. Initially, because in the Vedas, the stress is on understanding oneself first. Understanding oneself, what I am. I am trying to understand everything else in this world. I don't know about myself, what I am. But I am busy with understanding everything. So Vedas are questioning us, why you waste your time like this when you don't know yourself what you are? So beginning is from understanding ourselves first. And this is the reason why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is represented like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the first representation is Brahma came and Brahma asked a question, who am I? That's first in his heart. He didn't ask, oh, where is all this water coming from? Or where this lotus flower? That is later questions. First question he asked, who am I sitting in this lotus flower alone? Who am I? We are not asking that question, who am I now? Why? Because we know we are living in Stanmore or Edgeware or somewhere. That's how we understand. This is Ajnanam. This is the ignorance in us. We haven't asked the real question, who am I? That question has never occurred to us. And even if somebody asks that question, we have this answer, I am Dinadhyatma, I am an Indian, I have got an Irish passport or British passport or this or that. This is all my answer is to that, isn't it? So we know very well that the answer we are giving to somebody when they ask you, who are you? My answer is all faulty. Faulty answers I am giving to that person, but that person also is satisfied with my answer, so at least it solves the problem temporarily. But genuine question is when it comes to who am I. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it said that in the beginning, Lord Brahma, when he occupied the... this is how satsangam started first. Sridharacharya Swamiji says, Krishna wanted to have satsangam first. So he thought about that and he looked at his navel. Mahavishnu lying down, and then from the navel came the lotus flower. And in the lotus flower was empty first. There was nobody there. Lotus flower was empty. So Krishna moved and sat there in the form of Brahma. So Krishna wanted to talk about the knowledge of the soul to Brahma. He wanted somebody to listen. So he found Brahma. He himself sat there in the form of Brahma. So in order that Krishna could speak, somebody has to ask a question. So Brahma asked a question, who am I? This is how Bhagavatam begins. But in the Bhagavatam, when it is spoken, it's all spoken in the story style, isn't it? And we think, there is that lotus flower there. How big is the lotus flower? What's the color of the petal? And is the lotus flower still there? Is Brahma still sitting there? Or what has happened to the lotus flower? All these kind of questions we ask. But this is the way the sages present it to us, so that we somehow or the other relate with it. Otherwise, it will become more and more abstract for us. Difficult to understand it. That's the reason. So you'll see, ka eshaha. It says in the Bhagavatam, it's all there in the Bhagavatam. He's asking this question, who am I? He's asking, how did I come here? Where am I? So in other words, this question our great grandfather Brahma has asked the first time. And he expects us also to ask the same question. The human species also. Because we have come from Brahma's creation, we are. Aren't we? So he expected us to ask the same question, but we never asked that question. That's another thing. But that is what Brahma expected us to do. So in order this question to come inside, so those who have realized it, this is self-realization. Self-realization means knowing that I am complete in myself. That is self-realization. One of the aspects of self-realization is, I am complete in myself. The problem is, when you have realized the self, then you start seeing everyone else, they are also complete in themselves. Practically, all the jnanis think that everyone is liberated in this world. They don't think that you are conditioned. We think we are conditioned, isn't it? Jnanis never think we are conditioned. Because they have realized the truth. They know that there is ajnanam in us. All they are saying is, remove that ignorance from there and you are the same as I am. No difference at all. So practically you can see that Shruti is also telling the same thing to us. That we are all complete ourselves. We are all complete in itself.
So everyone is complete. There is no absolutely any imperfection in any of us. There is no imperfection in any of us. Not only us, human species, whether it's a dog, cat, or a donkey, or the tree, plant, everything in creation is complete in itself. It's a very amazing statement from the Upanishads. If you keep on reflecting on this, you will see another aspect of life. Not the way we think what is complete means. Complete means you can't ask the question that, oh, the tree cannot move anywhere, so how can it be complete? That is not what it means. You have to understand that when a particular name and a form a soul has taken a particular name and a form, whatever that has to happen in that name and form must happen in that, because behind that force, the soul is present there. That's all completeness means. That completeness is in the soul, not in the bodily function, or not in the ability to understand things. They are not important from the spiritual point of view. So therefore it says here that nobody is actually ignorant. Nobody is ignorant in this world. Ajnanam is, everyone is jnani, basically. So, why we say like that? That there is no imperfection in anyone. If there is any imperfection in anyone, it cannot be removed, because the soul is complete. If there is an imperfection in anything, it is in relationship with the body or the mind. There may be so many things. But in you, the soul, there is no imperfection. There is no imperfection. If there is any problem in anyone, the problem is with the mind and the body and the intelligence and the ignorance associated with that. So, if you have something, some imperfection or ignorance in your consciousness, in the soul, in other words, it can never be removed. It can never be removed. Nothing can be done about it. But the fact is, it doesn't exist. It is complete in itself. That's why Upanishad saying like this is, that we have to learn the art of seeing ourselves as soul, not as the body. No matter how much we read Bhagavad Gita and all, still our tendency is always to identify ourselves with the body. Isn't it? We will say to others, oh, Prabhu, dehinosminyata dehi kaumaram yavanam chera. It all just remains words only. Isn't it? Dhirasatranam ahyadi. But that is not how Upanishads teach us. Upanishads are telling us, try to understand yourself, what you are. They present everything in a very systematic way. And telling us, every Upanishad does the same thing, but it's done through as conversation between different sages and their disciples. But it's spoken in different way, but ultimately the message is the same. The message is this, that the soul is complete. It's perfect. Soul is perfect and soul is complete. And we are soul, therefore we are perfect and we are complete. This is the conclusion from that. If you just accept this without further questioning, this cannot be questioned, because this is the way Upanishads talk about it. They say to us, we'll tell you the truth. If you accept it, it's fine. If you're not able to accept it, you have to look at the reasons why you are not able to accept it. Why you're not able to accept it. And it is in this background, Krishna has spoken a few chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. The 16th and the 17th. That's the reason. Up to 15th chapter, with 15th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken everything, what he has to say to Arjuna. But 16th and 17th chapter, Krishna spoke for one reason only, in order to get that acceptance inside, these things can help you. And that's where he spoke about the divine and the demoniac nature. Divine and the demoniac. It's a nature that is the problem. It's not you. You are not the problem. The nature is the problem. Subhavam. Swarupam, as I said before, Swarupam, we are all same. The soul, spiritually, everyone is the same Swarupam. But Swabhavam is varying according to the name and form what we have taken. Namarupam. Accordingly, it changes. So, just like they give the example that anything what you experience as though an imperfection or incompleteness, it's only an appearance. It has no reality in the absolute sense. There is no reality in that. The ignorance also, what we say as ignorance, has nothing to do with the soul. That is why Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam that gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. If you remember, bandho mukta iti vyakhya gunato me na vastuda. Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Due to the influence of maya, we feel that we are thinking that, Prabhu, I am a conditioned soul. I have to get liberated. I have to get free myself. Gunasya maya mulatval. Due to the association with maya, we are thinking we have this problem, that problem. I have to go back to the spiritual world. I am in the material world now. I have to go back to the spiritual world. Gunasya maya mulatval. Due to the influence of maya. And this maya causes three modes of material nature, isn't it? And where is that material nature? Material nature is in the intelligence. Sattvam rajastama idi gunam buddhe na chalpmana. There also Krishna said that. Remember in the Bhagavadam? Sattvam rajastama idi sattugunam rajogunam tamogunam idi gunam idi buddhe. These are in the intelligence, na almana. It is not in the soul. So, more and more we identify with the soul as we are, the less we are affected by the modes of nature. Less we are affected by the modes of nature. The more and more you identify with the material body, the more you will be affected by the material nature. Always remember this, that by the very nature itself, you can never be perfect in this body. It is not possible. It is impossible, absolutely impossible. If you accept that, then you have got over a big problem in your mind. That it is impossible to become perfect in this material body and in the mind or the intelligence. Perfection is only possible in the platform of the soul. This is a very fundamental principle of spiritual life. That's why we say that in this world, even if you try to rectify things, improve the things, eventually it will all fail. It will not work because it's not meant for perfection. The world is not meant for perfection. So many great personalities had come in this world, isn't it? They have all tried to fix this world, to get it right. Day by day, what do you see? It gets more complex, isn't it? More complex. Why is it? Why is it like that? Can you imagine? Jesus Christ came, Krishna came, Buddha came, prophet came, and so many swamis came, yogis came. All of them have come, and they've all tried to fix this place. Fix in the sense that they know very well this cannot be fixed. They did it out of their, because in their situation, that is their role to play. They have to play. I've been sent here for the certain mission, they are doing it. But for those who are wandering, loitering in this world without any goal, direction, just trying to enjoy the world and suffering and experiencing misery, for their relief, they were sent here. But to think that this world will change is the greatest illusion in our head, that the world is going to change. If anyone gets into that illusion that I'm going to change this world, I'm going to make it perfect, then you can try. But one day, you will also realize the same thing, that it's not possible. It's not possible. Because perfection is not possible in this state. Perfection is not even possible in this body. It's not possible in the mind. It's not possible in the intellectual level. Impossible, it's the only word you can use there. If anybody thinks that I'll be perfect any day within this body, is the biggest mistake he is making himself. So, if you accept this fundamental principle that only in the spiritual platform, only as the soul's identity, when we become the soul or spiritual identity, perfection is possible. Why do we say perfection is possible? After that, there is no more desire. Desire will not develop inside anymore after that. More you have desires developing, that shows that you are imperfect. That's why your desires are coming back again in some form or the other. So, that is what the Upanishads are saying. So, this understanding is like this, that in the sea, in the ocean, there is the waves coming up, and then there is a foam coming there, and there is bubbles coming there. But is the ocean all these waves and the foam and the bubbles? Ocean is water basically, isn't it? In that, from water, all these things have come about. And similarly, that complete substance, complete perfect thing called the soul, is coming out in all these different forms of the different names, different forms, manifests in different identities in this world. And we, in our illusion, forgets about that complete substance behind it. We give importance to the name and the form, what we see in the world with our gross senses. And that's where all the problem begins. So, example like this, that that complete substance behind it, which is the soul, that is never affected by anything what is happening in these changes in this world. The soul behind is unaffected by anything what is happening in this world. For example, all the excitement or the emotions or all kinds of activities, what's happening in this world does not affect that consciousness behind. It is independent. That is why that word used to swarad in the Bhagavatam. Janmadyasya yadonyaya itaras arteshu arteshu abhijna swarad. Abhijna means it knows everything what's going on in this world, but it is completely independent from everything in this world. You see? That so many things are happening in this world, it doesn't have any impact on that. That's completely always independent. Arteshu abhijna swarad. Tene brahma hrida ya adigavaye mukhyandiyat suraya. Knowledgeable people, realized souls, they know this. Why? Mukhyandi. Everything muhyandi means, muhyam means what? Muhyandi means one who falls into delusion, into this illusion. Muhyandi at Suraya. They have Sui, realized personalities, they are not affected by this. That means they have accepted that everything that's happening in this creation is happening in the background of the soul, in the background of the soul. If you simply accept this, you have escaped from a big misunderstanding in this world. Otherwise, the chances are that you will identify with the body, identify with the mind all the time and suffer from that. And that misery cannot be removed. This is the problem. That if we don't have the right knowledge inside, you will get disturbed by the world. You'll get disturbed by the world. And this is the best example for that. If this acceptance of the soul, Brahmam, Janmadesa Yatonvaya, that thing, Satyam Param Dhimahi, Bhagavadam says, that Satyam, that is the only truth. And to that truth, I pay my obeisances, Vedavyasa Maharshi says in the Bhagavadam. That Janmadesa, the verse, the first verse in the Bhagavadam, is a very well-known verse, isn't it? Even Srila Prabhupada has written a long commentary on that, the first verse. Why? Because that verse is the very basis of the Vedantam also, philosophically. All the philosophies are coming from that verse. Vedavyasa Maharshi's greatest success in compiling that verse. Janmadhyasayataha. And the same Janmadhyasayataha in Brahma Sutram also begins with Janmadhyasayataha. So, Janmam Adi, from birth or appearance, everything else after that, what happens? All Satyam Param Dhimahi. Happens where? In the background of this consciousness or the soul. It is in that consciousness of the soul, everything is happening. Everything is happening. In his absence, nothing can happen. And at the same time, when all these things are happening, nothing affects him. He means the soul behind everything. Soul behind everything. So that is a Purna Vastu. It's complete in itself. Complete in itself. So, just like, you know, when the movie goes on, the screen. In the screen, what do you find? In some movies, you'll see there is a war going on, isn't it? So war going on, marriage is going on in the screen. And also, somebody's driving the car at 200 miles an hour. All sorts of things. It depends on where the movie was made. They would have made so many things. War, marriage, good things, bad things, everything happens. But when the movie is over, you look at the screen, nothing has happened. Isn't it? For the screen, nothing has happened. It's only that illusion that created us. All these things have happened, all these things have happened. We think like that, isn't it? But it is that screen that is important. For us, the movie is important. For the knowledgeable people, for learned people, the screen is important. This is the difference. We take the movie seriously, they take the screen seriously. This is similar, a comparison between the soul and the world. The world is important for us. Learned people realize the soul, they take the soul important, not the world. Because they know that this world has come from the soul, just manifested from the soul. And in the background of the that soul, consciousness, prajnanam brahma, all these things are happening, the whole show is going on here. So if you accept this principle, then you get out of a big misunderstanding inside. That means our attraction towards this world won't go very easily. Why? Because of this misunderstanding we have developed over a long period of time, the importance of this world, isn't it? Only any great personality who have escaped from this world, if you look at their life, you will see what they had to say about this world after they have realized the truth. Then you will see. For example, Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha's take, for example. What did he say? He said, at an early age, he decided to leave home. Siddhartha, isn't it? He had a great, very wealthy personality coming from you know, royal family. Father, Bimbisara, says to him that built three different palaces for him to live for three different seasons so that he could be comfortable. At the time when he was born, the astrologers have told Bimbisara that this person is not an ordinary child. He has this strong tendency towards sannyasam and to renounce the world. Strong tendency in him. So Bimbisara, knowing this, he decided that if you engage a person's sense enjoyment from the very beginning, then there's no chance of escaping from that later, isn't it? So he decided that I'll give him all material comfort so that that thought will not ever happen to him. So in order that Lord Buddha should not take sannyasam and go away from there, he built these three different palaces for him and provided all the facilities for him to enjoy in those palaces. He never was shown any older people, because when you see old people, you'll start thinking, will I get old one day like that? He was never shown any people who were ill or sick, because he may think that, will I get sick like that? And he was not shown anyone dying either. Siddhartha was never allowed to look at anybody who was dying. They were never brought to him. So Siddhartha was given all kinds of material facilities so that he never gets attracted to renunciation. That was Bimbisara's mind. In spite of all that, one day when he came out, he saw he was taken out by one of his servants to go out. He got an opportunity to go. He went out and he saw a person dying. Then he asked his question, that will I get the sickness? Will I die? And this person said, yes, everybody will die. Your father will die. Your wife will die. Your mother will die. You will die. Everyone is going to die one day. That's when he comes back and says the famous Buddha statement. Yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved. Yadi ishta viniyogam na bhaved. Yadi ishta viniyogam na bhaved. Edi sarvam anitya na bhayed, iha janmani kasya radhir na bhaved, he said. It was an amazing statement, Buddha's, one of the most famous statements. See, Buddhist philosophy is not far different from the Vedantam. It's all the same. There's very little differences in the realized state they talk about. But practically, Buddha is talking Bhagavad Gita in another form. Edi janma jara maranam na bhaved, that where there is, Bimbisara asked this question. Some people also asked Buddha, what are you short of in life? Why do you need to give up all these comforts in life and go and stay like this? He says, Buddha's answer was, I've thought about it so much that is what I have to tell you, he said. And then his answer was, yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, Can you show me a place where there is no death happens, or where there is no old age or birth, or there is no illness? If there is a place like that, please let me know. He says. Then he says, Yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, Yadi ishta viyogam na bhaved. The next thing what it is that even if you have all these things sorted, which is not possible, he says, ishta viyogam na bhaved. For our happiness, we distribute our love towards other living entities. Isn't it? Other living entities. And their presence in life gives you some happiness. Just like a man has his family life for that. Wife, children, they're all there. He feels some happiness in their presence. But actually, they're all objects of distress later. One day, they have to go, you have to go. Isn't it? That is why he's saying here, Yadi ishtaviyogam na bhaved. Ishtaviyogam means this, that whom you are taking so seriously in life as your own, and on whom your happiness in this world is depend upon, and the very people are going to say goodbye one day. So what happens? Initially in this world, in relationships also, we are wondering whether that person likes me or not, or he hates me, or all these doubts comes. And there is a problem there itself. Secondly, even if that person likes you, is that loving relationship will continue forever or not? That fear also comes. After that, there is the fear that will he leave me and that way, or will I leave him and that my relationship will come to an end. Whatever it is, everything in this world is ultimately an object of distress. This we have to accept it. There is no choice in there. In this, that's why Buddha is saying that Yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, Yadi ishtaviyogam na bhaved, Yadi ishtaviyogam na bhaved. Then he says, Yadi sarvam anityam na bhaved. Suppose you work very hard, you build a huge business empire in this world, billions and billions of pounds. Can he stay? Billions will stay with him? No. Yadi sarvatra anityam na bhaved. Everything is temporary here. Nothing can stay here. So from all angles, if you look at it in this life, it is distress, distress, distress at the end. All frustration and misery at the end. Is it not? So that's what Buddha was saying. Iha kasya radir na bhaved. Do you want me to waste my whole lifetime to be engaged in all these kind of activities? He said, let me find out, is there any way of escaping from this? And therefore, Buddha turned towards spiritual life. This is how his spiritual life begins. Yadi yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved. These thoughts won't happen very easily to most of us, isn't it? Well, Buddha can say all that, I have to look after myself, I have to work and get my salary, how will I maintain? This is the way we will answer this question. Well, janma jara, yes, everybody is dying, so what, Lord, let me also die. This is the answer from our side, isn't it? But very intelligent people like Buddha, like all the great acharyas, because they have this high realization of life, they can see that in this human body some solution can be found for this problem. Therefore, they took Vedic injunctions very seriously. They didn't ignore it. They took it very seriously. And therefore, they have come out with the solutions and telling us that with this life you can finish this business and once for all get out of this cycle of birth and death. That is all it is about. That's all Vedanta philosophy is telling us. That first of all, to come to this understanding itself, it takes a long time, isn't it? To accept this principle, what Buddha is saying, Yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, Yadi ishta viyogam na bhaved, Yadi sarvatra dukham anityam na bhaved, he says, I can have some attachment anywhere in this world if all these problems are solved. Otherwise, I don't want to be attached to any of these things because I know they will all bring distress to me later on. So it's a deeper realization, isn't it? That to recognize, to see in a very subtle level things, to recognize that all these objects, so-called family, the society, friends, they're all nothing but a cause of distress later. today, if not today, tomorrow. That's all. It's ultimately, you are on your own in this world. It's wrong to think that all the other things are going to protect you from anything. Nobody is there to help. Notice that. That is why Krishna is saying self-realization alone is the solution to the problem. If you want a permanent solution to the problem. Temporarily, you can find so many solutions in the association of friends and family and all that. You may find some shelter, but eventually that is not a solution to the problem. So he says here that the that Atma or the soul is complete and everything is complete. And from the complete point of view, a good person, a bad person, they are both complete. They are both complete. Also, Hiranyakashipu is complete, Prahlada is also complete. Prahlada is also complete. How can you say like that? Bhagavatam is saying this. I'm not saying it. Bhagavatam is saying there. He say, so what has happened is that Hiranyakashipu's Swabhavam was different than Prahlada's Swabhavam. But otherwise, Hiranyakashipu learned that with this death, his body is all finished. He doesn't have to come back again into this world again. So it is based on this dress that we call someone as a demon, somebody as a devotee. It's based on this dress outside, isn't it? Once you remove that dress outside, purnasyam, purnam, adaya, purnam, eva, avashishyate, what remains is complete. The dress of a person is his body, isn't it? Not the external dress, the body. The body, the mind, this is his dress. From the spiritual point of view, the person's dress is his material body, his mind, his intelligence. That is his dress. If you remove that dress, he is complete. Hiranyakashipu is complete, Prahlada is also complete. They are not incomplete, they are complete. We think that we look at the dress, that is our disease, isn't it? We look at the dress and see everything is wrong. So, so this thought, Purnameva Shishyate, there is only completeness in this creation. Only completeness in this creation. If you continuously accept this through your intelligence, this principle, that everyone is complete, it is only the dress that is incomplete. It's only the dress that has got all the problems inside. So, if you, one day, that realization will turn into samadhi. Will turn into samadhi while eyes are open. So, why this, our whole problem in this world, we have accepted duality, isn't it? When did duality come? Duality comes with the material body. When you have material body, you have duality, isn't it? Somebody is a man, somebody is a woman, somebody is a boy, somebody is a girl, somebody is Indian, somebody is American, somebody is black, somebody is white. These are all the dualities of this world. If you accept the dress, then you have duality. If you ignore the dress, duality goes away. If you ignore the dress, duality goes away. So, that is why this duality, dvaitam, is the is the problem. Duality is the problem. Instead, if you know that there is only one complete substance that is present, which is the soul, in that case, that is the state, what is called samadhi state. Samadhi state is that. You have to read Bhagavatam and understand this. Why? When Parikshit Maharaj came and asked Sudeva Goswami, what should I do? Sudeva Goswami's answer was, I will talk to you about Krishna these next seven days. And he spoke about Krishna very extensively in the 10th canto. And in the Ekadasha Skandam, he talked about the identity of the soul and Krishna. After he heard that, what did he say? My fear has gone, he says. Isn't it? My fear has gone. Abhayam darshidam tvaya. That's a word he has used. Abhayam darshidam tvaya. My fear is gone and I have seen Abhayam darshidam tvaya. What am I? I have seen who I am. He's saying there. In the Bhagavatam, he says that to Sudeva Goswami. So, Abhayam darshidam tvaya. I have seen what is the state of fearlessness. I have seen that. Abhayam darshidam tvaya. By your mercy, I have seen the state of fearlessness. You see, we are constantly in fear, isn't it? Fear means anxiety about various things. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen at the old age? what will happen to my health? What will happen to my wealth? What will happen to my assets? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my friends? This kind of fear. Where is the fear coming from? Fear, as far as philosophy, Krishna is saying, fear is only for the false ego. It's a false ego that is fearing. You are not fearing. Again, the same problem. We, because we have identified with the false ego, we experience the fear. Soul has no fear because he will always existing. Where is the question of him about finishing one day? Why is the fear? False ego has the fear. False ego is the fear. So every time, that is why all the self-realized souls are fearless, you can see. They have no fear about death. They have no fear about old age. They know very well that the body will get old. Body, they don't expect perfection from the body. They don't expect perfection from the material business, in material life in this world. They are not expecting perfection in that. That will be biggest foolishness, to think that everything will be perfect in this world. Everything what you do here, there will be a lot of imperfections. It is not possible in this material world to do anything imperfectly. If you do something good, there will be something bad along with it. Result must be there. That's the law. That's the law is like that. Anything you try to do in this world good, there will be something bad along with that happening. That's how the creation is. So, saying that, this verse is saying, Purnam, that's the word we are trying to understand, why the sages use that word Purnam. You'll get a little bit more clarity when you keep on talking about various things related to life. Because Purnatvam is only in the soul, not in the body. Purnatvam, that means this completeness. Completeness is only in the soul, not in the body. That's why it is said like that. So everybody is complete from that angle. Everybody, as far as the spiritual position is concerned. So that state is called Samadhi. What is that Samadhi state? That to know that there is only complete things exist. Everything is complete in itself. And therefore it says here, that just like when you have seen the snakes, they've got this poisonous teeth, isn't it? Poisonous teeth. So you know these people who play with the snakes, who bring them in these baskets. They'll have four or five baskets, four different kinds of snakes. They'll open it up, they'll take their thing and start blowing, and snake will start dancing. What has he done? All he has done is, he has removed that poisonous teeth from all the snakes. Then he knows it can't bite. There may be poisonous snakes, but it can't bite anymore because the teeth has gone away. Teeth has been taken out. Similarly, in our understanding of this world, as soon as you take out these poisonous teeth of knowing this world in the Namarupam, in name and form, you give to different things. And accept that. If you simply remove that ignorance from us, from inside, then you will see there, the mind naturally comes to a very stable state. There is no other way, mind is not going to become stable. Ajnanam must go from inside. Krishna gives a lot of importance to knowledge, isn't it? I'm using the word knowledge because that's the closest word to jnanam, isn't it? So jnanam is the solution to the problem, not karmam. Karmam is not the solution. You can keep on doing karmam in this world. You will never escape free yourself from that. Jnanam is the solution to the problem. And Krishna is repeatedly saying this in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Tesham evanu kambartam aham ajnanajam tama nashayam atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswada. You can't have a much more straight word from Krishna. Krishna is saying here, Tesham evanu kambartho. That means when a devotee who has served Krishna in the way Shastram has told, not the way he liked. The way Shastram has told, if he has performed Krishna consciousness in this life, aham ajnanajam tama, I will remove his ignorance, he says. Ajnanam will go away from him. How? Nashayami altma bhavastho. I am situated inside him, altma bhavam, as the soul in him. And jnana deepena basuda. And the light that knowledge will come from inside, not from outside. That's the most important thing. Knowledge is not, because if it has to come from outside something, it will leave us also tomorrow. There is no guarantee. Something has to come from outside. It can go also tomorrow. But this one particular thing, spiritual knowledge, is not to come from outside. It has to come from inside. It has to come from inside. That's what that verse is important. Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. Krishna is saying, Jnana Deepam, the light of knowledge is, I will shine it inside. From inside, Krishna will do that. Nashayami Atma Bhavasto. Atma Bhavasto means that he will give him this consciousness of the soul, not the body, provided he is performing his Krishna consciousness properly. Tesham Evanukambartam. Kripa, that is Krishna's Kripa, Krishna's mercy, is that. Aham Ajnanajam Tama, that Tamogunam in the form of Ajnanam which is present inside a person, Nashayami, I'll destroy that, Krishna says, from inside, not from outside. Remember, we are complete. Always remember this, we are complete. Knowledge is inside, the soul is inside. There is nothing to come from outside. It's a misunderstanding. Oh, I have to go through all the courses, I have to do this, I have to do that, and then one day I will get there. This is what how we are thinking about it, isn't it? We are thinking, oh, I have to chant so many rounds for so many years, in the old age I have to go to Vrindavan, I have to go to Radhakund there, and I have to get my house built there, I have to live there, I have to chant there, I have to leave my body in Vrindavan there. This is all misunderstanding in the head. This is not what, if it was like that, Bhagavad Gita cannot be accepted anywhere else. If only by going to Vrindavan this can happen, and only in dying in Vrindavan you'll go back to the spiritual world, then what can I say more than that? So everyone else who is dead in this world, they will never go back, is it? All those who are left in the world, that is not answer. This is we glorify Vrindavan in all these things, no doubt. But let that misunderstanding don't take the knowledge away from a person. Bhagavad Gita's knowledge is perfect. When Krishna is saying like this, Nashayami Atma Bhavastu, one who has realized the soul. Prabhupada said about Socrates, he was self-realized soul, he said. Socrates didn't die in Vrindavan, he died in Greece somewhere, isn't he? So how did this happen? So many people all over the world, many people are not unknown to us, we don't know. There are so many people practicing spiritual life in this world, much more deeper level than us. Much more deeper level than us, much more thoughtful, much more deeper level they are practicing spiritual life. Now, we may think that, oh, those people, they don't know, they are not in ISKCON, they are not joined us, they are not, so that means you condemn everybody like that. You can't do that. Because spiritual knowledge is not anybody's proprietary thing. It is not, you can't franchise it. It's only Krishna who gives it. Krishna is the person who is franchising it. So if you want to get it, you have to go to Krishna. But nowadays, everybody thinks they have to franchise everybody to something else. Somebody else's property it has become now. That's how we ignorant we are about these things. Therefore, it will get into the thick heads, these things. This is spiritual understanding of life. That some people think that it is their control. They are the one who have to decide who should have what and who should not have what. This is ignorance, height of ignorance. So, point is that everybody is Purnam, complete. Any living entity who walk inside, you have to accept he is complete in itself. He is complete in himself. There is nothing he is lacking. Due to ajnanam in the person, his identity has been covered up. Just like I mentioned, Swarupam has been covered by Swabhavam. That's all. Swabhavam. That will go one day. Everybody is on the path towards self-realization. Some people are flying, some people are going at a much lower pace. But it's better to fly than go slowly. We shouldn't take that as a... Because human body is precious. Krishna has given us. Krishna says, this is the best body for that self-realization. And I have given this to him for that purpose. To realize who he is. Like Brahma did, like so many others did in the past. So it says here, so therefore it says here, unless the mind comes to some stable state, it is not possible, and even if the mind stays, so once you have this understanding that everything is complete within oneself, then only completeness exists. Incompleteness doesn't exist. So, because there is no other substance existing, every material body, every form in this world is a temporary thing. It has come from that, isn't it? From that basis. Janmadhisedaha. That Satyambaram Dhimahi. So that's why that Satyambaram Dhimahi is important. It is from Satyambaram Dhimahi everything else has come, isn't it? Therefore, Vedavyasa says,
Satyambaram Dhimahi. I pay my obeisances to that Satyam. And Bhagavatam begins with Satyambaram Dhimahi. Bhagavatam finishes with Satyambaram Dhimahi. Isn't it? Kasmayena vibhasidoyam adilo jnana pradipa pura. These two verses in the Bhagavatam is very important. Which one? Janmadhyasedaha, the first verse, and this verse at the very end of Bhagavatam. Not the last verse, it's the in the 13th chapter it comes. This verse. Kasmayena vibhasidoyam adilo jnana pradipa pura. Todrubena janaradaya munaye krishnaya todrubina. Yogindraya tadalpanada bhagavadradaya karunyada tachuddham vimalam vishogam amrdam satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam begins with satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam finishes with satyam param dhimahi. Satyam param dhimahi is a topic in the Srimad Bhagavatam is centered around the satyam param dhimahi. Satyam param dhimahi means I pay my respects to that satyam, the absolute truth, this very basis. From this everything, knowing, unknowing, moving, unmoving, all objects, everything has come, and this whole world creation in front of me, what exists, with whom I am trying to relate through my mind, the senses, including this mind, the senses, this body, has origin of that is Satyam Param Dhimahi. That basis is that. So that is where it is coming from. Once we have known that, you can accept that what exists really, in reality, is only the soul. Only the soul. And that has no change. It always exists. Always. It's no time, Krishna says there, isn't it? At no time I didn't exist, and I exist now, and I'll exist in the future. What does it mean? It means that Satyam Param Dhimahi, always existing. Always existing. So, Atmaivai Edam Sarvam. So, what do we have to do after knowing this? We have to become peaceful within life. In our own life. So, this is the statement in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Brihadaranyam says, after knowing this, what do you have to do? You have to stay in that state of knowing that it is the basis. Satyam Param Dhimahi. So, Panditya Nurvidya Sabrahmanaha. So, so far, this is so many things we have spoken from in introduction to this Ishopanishad. And many things were spoken just to enter into Ishopanishad, to get an understanding of Ishopanishad, including the invocation prayers. Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnam, Udachyade. Purnasya, Purnam, Adaya, Purnam, Eva, Avashishyade. This is Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. If this realization comes, then Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. Only Shanti will be there. And Shanti is the nature of the soul. Not all this hullabaloo we do in this world. This is not the nature of the soul. Nature of the soul is Shanti. That is why all Upanishads mantram will say, Shanti is the goal. Bhagavad Gita also, Tataparam Shanti Mubayati Sakshat. In Bhagavadam it says, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna, there, Kavi Maharshi says here, Tataparam Shanti Mubayati Sakshat. Shanti is what you are looking for. Shanti means what? That state where mind doesn't move anymore. Mind has no more movement after that. If you remember when we are discussing that sixth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, sixth chapter, Dhyana Yogam, isn't it? There also Krishna talks about that state, Shanti Sthiti, Brahmi Sthiti. This is the same state where the mind does not move anymore. Mind has come to that steady state. It doesn't get any more. It doesn't get any more changes inside. Vigaram doesn't happen inside. Emotions doesn't develop inside. So that state is called Shanti. Tataparam Shanti Mubayati Sakshal. Kavi Maharshi says this to Navayogis. Kavi Maharshi says this to King Nimi. Krishna says also, Bhoktaram Yajnadavasam Sarvaloga Maheshwaram Suhrdam Sarvabhudanam Yatva Mam Shanti Mruchari, he says. After that, Shanti comes to him. When Yatva Mam, when he knows Krishna. When he realizes, Bhoktaram, that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, famous verse, isn't it? Prabhupada used to quote that. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhudanam jnatvamam shantimurchati. We will, of course, from a devotee's point of view, we'll understand Krishna is saying that dependence on surrendering to Krishna is the most important thing, because thereby, if you completely surrender to Krishna, you will understand Krishna, and when you understand Krishna, you will reach the state of peacefulness, what Bhagavad Gita is talking about. That is from the devotee's point of view. From Jnani's point of view, what does it say? Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. All our sacrifices, yajnam, everything is to please that Satyambaram Dhimahi behind, the soul behind. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. All this creation is coming from him and he is the controller of everything. Sukhradam Sarvabhudanam. And he is the only friend of all the living entities. He means referring to this consciousness inside, the soul inside. Sukhradam Sarvabhudanam. And knowing that consciousness, or the state of pure consciousness of the soul, Jnatvamam Shanti Mruchati. You will reach the state of peacefulness. Shanti state will happen too. So, there is no difference in the sense that Jnani puts it in one way, Krishna, a devotee, sees it in a different way. But the verse is the same. Bhuktaram Yajnatavasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Sukhradam Sarvabhudanam Jnatvamam Shanti Mruchati. Shanti will come at that time. So Shanti is the goal. Shanti is the goal. How that Shanti happens, that is why while entering to Upanishad, the first word we spoke about this is this completeness. Is this completeness. Everything is complete here. If we accept that, everything is complete. Instead of seeing the body, seeing the person's dress, external dress, and judging people on that basis, instead if we simply see that the person is complete, his swabhavam is different. Swabhavam may vary from person to swarupam is the same. Swabhavam, there is difference. So, if we keep on repeating this to ourselves, ragadvesham won't develop inside. Ragadvesham develops, why? Because as soon as you see a person, this man is going to give me trouble. As soon as that thought develops inside, what do you do? You want to defend straight away, isn't it? That's why Srimad Bhagavatam, when we discuss these things, Krishna talks on a very, very higher level. Sometimes when you hear that, but it's only personalities like Uddhava who had that great devotion in his heart that immediately he captured the message. What Krishna spoke, isn't it? Parasvabhava karmani, ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. First he says, Parasabhava karmani na prashamsay na nindayed. Vishwamegalpagam pashyen prakritya purushenacha. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, anya parasabhavam and other swabhavam, their nature and their actions, better not to discuss it. Neither glorify it nor condemn it. Don't glorify, don't condemn it. Just leave it. That is, swabhavam it is swabhavam. Parasabhava karmani na prashamsayed na garhayed. We say. How are we? We'll condemn everyone to the deepest level and we'll glorify someone to the highest level. Isn't it? This is our greatest problem. This is very ingrained in us. Isn't it? Oh, we'll say, oh, we have to appreciate what he has done. No, Krishna says, no, you don't have to. Because an intelligent person will know he is not doing, Krishna is doing it through him. So there's nothing to be so much glorified about that. What normally happens is we glorify people and tomorrow something goes wrong. We'll tell you, I knew that this will happen. How many times history repeats all the time it happens. So therefore, much more intelligent Krishna is saying to us, Parasvabhavam karmani na prashamse na garhet. Don't glorify anybody. Let him do what he has done. Fine, Krishna has done it through him. If somebody becomes very famous in this world, we think, oh, he's amazing, isn't it? He's so fantastic. He's done such, he's done this, he's done that. And tomorrow something goes wrong with him. We'll say, I know, we know that he was like that. You know, he's useless totally. This world is like that. So intelligence is not to either get involved in glorifying someone or to get involved in condemning someone. Na prashamsay na nindaye. Why? Krishna says, Vishwam egalpagam pashin. You should know, Uddhava, to see this world egalmagam. There is only one thing real here, that's the soul. Prakritya, Purusha and Cha. You are seeing it in two different forms, Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti means material nature. In the form of material nature, and the other one as Purusha. Purusha and Prakriti. The soul and the Prakriti. That's the way we see now, isn't it? Even those who are seeing this world, they are seeing living entities all as a combination of the soul and the Prakriti, material nature. Krishna says that also in the 7th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Bhumi rapanalo vayu khamano buddhi revaja ahangare diyame bhinna prakriti ashtada. Ashtada prakriti. Ashtada prakriti means the five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. 8. 5 plus 3, 8. 5 material elements and mind, intelligence, false ego. 8. These 8 things. Apareyam idastanyam prakritim vidyame param jiva bhutam. Jiva bhutam means the individual soul, the living entity, plus these 8 things is what we are today. Isn't it? Jivabhuta Mahabaho Edam Dharite Jagat. And that keeps this creation going. So, Krishna's point is that Parasubhava Karmani Na Prashamsayat Na Grahayat Vishwam Egalmagam Pashin Prakritya Purushena Cha. It is not possible to come to this realization in one day. But unless we reflect on this, it will never happen. It's not going to happen. Unless we constantly talk to us, these are words from Krishna's words, this is, of a personality who is going towards back home, back to Krishna, or self-realization. For him, Krishna says, these are the qualifications for him. And then, in the very next verse, he says, Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. So, what will happen to him? Anyone who is busy with others, Subhavam and Karmam, continuously analyzing others, Subhavam and Karmam. Parasubhava Karmani, ya prashamsadi, ya nindadi. What will happen to him? Asatyam abhiniveshada, sa ashu brashyade. He will immediately fall away from the truth. From the truth of self-realization, he will fall away. Why? Asatyam abhiniveshada. He has gone and caught hold of the asatyam, the truth, asat. Asatyam abhiniveshada. Abhinivesham has happened in the asatyam. Attachment has happened to the falsity of this world. So you can see that all these things are very subtle levels spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is so subtle. And unless we develop that way of thinking and understanding Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, instead we see everything from a gross level, seeing that. Grossness is what? Grossness is like this. Grossness is we are concerned about in which year Mahabharata war happened. What? How big was the Kurukshetra field? How many soldiers could stand there? And what kind of weapons they were using? How many people got killed in the war? This is our gross nature of inquiry. This is not what Bhagavad Gita was talking about. Bhagavad Gita is talking about something different. That they are there, but that it's not the important part of Bhagavad Gita. Important part of Bhagavad Gita is how self-realization can happen and what is required for that. If you don't get that advantage from Bhagavad Gita, we may as well throw away all these books. If we have to study this book simply for the sake of improving my information on Kurukshetram and the war there, what happened? Some people say 640 million people got killed in the war. Some people say 6.4 million. Some people ask the question, in 18 days war they managed to kill so many people. How could that be? They will ask all these soft of monkey questions, as we say. Kwarangabuddhi. Monkey's mind is that. Monkey's mind will work like this. He will ask this Bandar intelligence, what they say. So this is the kind that is useless. We have to come out of this kind of thing and start asking the genuine questions. What was actually happened to what happened to Arjuna in Krishna's instructions? How did that change their thinking? How did that understand? How did they accept these spiritual realizations? So that's why in introduction to that, so far we have seen that it is only it should not become purely an academic knowledge. In other words, all these things are favorable for spiritual realization, for realizing the self. Therefore, we have to constantly talk to ourselves that within me or within you yourself, you have to tell yourself
that there is no imperfection in me. There is no incompleteness in me. Everything is there. What I have got is this ajnanam in me, which I have to get rid of. Nothing I have to get from outside. All I have to get rid of, I have to only get rid of things from me. I have nothing to get from outside. So, when you say like this, people will ask this question, and you get up in the morning, your stomach is upset. And you say everything is Purnam. Purnam Adam, Purnam Adam, stomach is Purnam, eyes are Purnam, mouth is Purnam, everything is Purnam. No, that's not what it means. So, this material body, whether the disease comes, whether it dies, it's complete. In its function, when it has been created, it has got a certain function to fulfill in this world. This body was given to us to fulfill a certain function in this world. Once that function is over, it will go. You can't do anything about it. Therefore, it's complete. That's how you have to look at the body. You are thinking, oh, if I can keep this body according to my desire for another 50 years, then only you can say the body is complete. Now the body is not. No, body is complete. Everything is complete. Stomach is complete because it functions as Krishna's planned. It will function. And body also, when its role is over, it will go. That's been created. For therefore, it's complete. Isn't it? Therefore, it's complete. Its business is over, so it's complete. But what that is behind all these things, the real perfection, so therefore it's not possible to become complete within this body. We have to accept this at the very deep of our heart. Otherwise, what will happen is, our conditioning is so strong to think that this body, somehow or the other, if we can keep it going, if it stays a little bit longer, I can enjoy in this world. And these thoughts will come back to us. Once that thought comes back, it's tamogunam. That's tamogunam it is, to tell us that. That's why when you see these things happening in so-called spiritually advanced people, you start wondering whether how genuine are their understanding of these things. That's why many, many great personalities, when they come to that stage in life, if they have a deep realization, you can notice this in them. That they do not care for the body anymore. That body has its duties, function is done, it goes its own way. So, so within the background of this truth, all these activities are going on in this creation. So, so the only truth in all this creation and everything is that background, the screen, which is the soul. So, and it is that soul that what we are experiencing in the form of awareness, bodham, isn't it? That bodham, that is why it is so important. I was saying all these things to bring to this point, that why this awareness is given important, because it is only this awareness, the soul, presence of the soul, can be perceived all the time as the reality only through this awareness or bodham. Consciousness, in other words. This is why we say soul is consciousness. People ask this question, isn't it? Very gross people, people who are very gross, who are very much absorbed in the science, who do not accept the soul, who are used to matter too much, who is to material thoughts, they will ask this question, where is the soul? Can you show it to me? The answer to that question is this, that this awareness in everyone, present in everybody, is the symptom of the soul. It's a symptom of the soul. That's why awareness is given important than anything else. Not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego. The awareness is given. Prajnanam Brahma. Prajnanam. Isn't it? Prajnanam means this. Prajna. Consciousness is Brahma. Consciousness is Brahma. Consciousness is Brahma. We say like that. Consciousness is Brahma. Consciousness is the truth. That's the only thing which is always continuously existing. And that will never go. Even if you lose this body, you are existing. You still continue to exist. Even after leaving this body, you continue to exist. You continue to exist. Everything else will go. Suppose you are liberated, the subtle body will also go. Gross body will go. Mind will go. Intelligence will go. Everything will go. And what exists is consciousness again. People always try to see the spiritual life also through our material understanding. And therefore, we have difficulties sometimes to explain things properly. Sometimes people ask this question, that if I go to the spiritual world in Golokam or in Vaikuntham, Vaikuntham means I'll have four hands, isn't it? Everybody is four-handed. So Golagam, you got only two hands. Which is better?
Four.
What do you answer? Four is better. So people will think like this, isn't it? So this question of the seeing through the body everything, we got used to it a lot like that. And even when we ask this question, we are also thinking, what is the spiritual body like? And then there is this explanation that you can, every sense can do every other job. You see? Angani asya sagalendriyam vrittimandi. There is verse in the Brahma Samhita. If you take that verse and you start thinking, does that mean through the tongue I can see things? All this kind of understanding will come. Angani asya sagalendriyam vrittimandi. There is a verse there, isn't it? Brahma Samhita. We read all this translation also. But there is no answer after that. What happens with that? So that's why I'm saying that the soul, if you don't recognize that behind everything, it's the soul that is doing that. The body, the temporary things, what we have got in this world, this has created a thought process in us that we can only see things through that body. We perceive things only through the body and accept that, that is how it exists. We also say in the same way that because I've got two hands, two legs, and everything, two eyes, two ears, it has to be God also must have in the same way. He can't have four legs or four hands or other thing. And then when the God comes in the form of half man, half lion, we are confused. He says, why he has taken that form? That's not his form. It's some other form he has got. Or when he comes as a 2 feet high brahmachari, we ask the question, why he is not God? He's only 2 feet high. So our tendency is to look at through our body and make sure that everything in this creation has to function in the same way like our body is functioning. So we impose this on God also in the same way. When he takes so many different forms, fish form, tortoise form, boar form and all that, we think, well, I can't worship that form. How can I? Because that's not his original form. He has got some other form. Like this, we on the form also people start fighting them. No, somebody will say, no, Ramchandra is the truth. Somebody will say Krishna is the truth. Somebody says Shiva is the truth. Somebody says Jesus Christ is the truth. Somebody says Allah is the truth. And then there is problem. There is problem. But if you accept that, the soul, that's why Bhagavatam didn't mention there Krishna or Shiva or anything. Satyam Bharam Dhimahi, it said in the beginning and finished with Satyam Bharam Dhimahi, so that there is no any more controversy over this and people kill each other on this issue. They didn't want that to happen. Satyam Bharam Dhimahi. Basically what you have to understand is this, that the soul is the basis. It is from the soul everything is coming. All kinds of things happening. Whole creation has come from the soul. Brahmam. Another word given to that is Brahmam. From there everything has come. And that is complete. And that is complete. And this is how that Upanishads is beginning. This Upanishad is beginning with that prayer. Upanishad is beginning with that prayer.
Quarter past four.
Yeah. So, Om Shanti Shantihi. So, in this Isha Upanishad, we will look at it, some connection with Bhagavad Gita and Isha Upanishad. As I mentioned before, there's a lot to say and we don't have the time. That is the main problem what we have got. We haven't got enough time. So, but the message is too deep and too much to talk about it. When Bhagavad Gita was spoken, remember this, that Isha Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, all the other Upanishads, Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Sutram, everything has only one message to tell us. One message to tell us. Then why all this, one book was not sufficient, you may ask the question. Reason is that Bhinna Ruchirhi Loka, that in this world, different people have different levels of mind, intelligence. And they all require the truth to be presented to them in a way that will be attracted to them. I'll be attracted to them. So that's why, if you look into Bhagavad Gita also, Bhagavad Gita is, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, as you know, that
in that Bhagavad Gita, if you seriously study Bhagavad Gita, you will find a lot of interesting things. Very, very interesting things. As I said before, that when we discussed the second chapter before, we talked about the birth of Pandavas and the Kauravas. You remember that? How birth of Pandavas and Kauravas have happened in this world. And there is a lot of things you can notice there which is very similar to our nature. Similar to our nature. For example, Dhritarashtra. Take for example Dhritarashtra. Don't think that I'm going to Bhagavad Gita now. No, I'm saying Bhagavad Gita and in the light of Upanishad's knowledge, how Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads are talking about the same thing. In the case of Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra was an important personality, isn't it, in the Bhagavad Gita. Dhritarashtra is an important personality. So, this little bit of history behind Bhagavad Gita. When the war happened, 18 days war, Mahabharata was lasted 18 days, isn't it? So, prior to the war, there was a lot of discussions happened in Hastinapur. Lot of discussions happened. It didn't just started like this one day. So much discussions happened. Even now it's like that, isn't it? You can see before a war happens, all the leaders will go back and forth, sending their Secretary of State here, Secretary of State there. They keep come, foreign secretaries travel, and there will be a lot of discussions behind the scene happening before they start the war. Every war, if you look at it carefully, you'll see this. So same way, at the time when the war happened in Kurukshetra, also there was a lot of discussions happened. And this Dhritarashtra was given a lot of advice. You remember? A lot of advice was given not to go for the war. Not to go for the war. What he did was, much before this war happened, the sages who were visiting him, there was a particular personality called Sanal Sujata Maharshi. He was a great sage. Just like Vedavyas, another great personality. Sanal Sujata Maharshi went to see Dhritarashtra. So whoever comes, Dhritarashtra will tell him, please enlighten me on spiritual life, and say. So these sages, because he is the king, they will talk to him about spiritual realization and the importance of pulling out of this Maya and to come to the platform of the truth. So Dhritarashtra heard what is known in the Mahabharata as Sanal Sujatiyam. Sanal Sujata Maharshi's conversations with Dhritarashtra. A long conversation it is. If you read all that, you might think, what kind of person is this Dhritarashtra? After knowing all these things, he heard everything from Sanal Sujata Maharshi. And still he went to war. He decided to go for the war. Just before the wars happened, Vedavyasa Maharshi went to see him. And Vedavyasa Maharshi told Dhritarashtra that if you get into this war, there will be total destruction. Your children will die. The best thing for you to do now is to make a compromise with the Pandavas and some agreement with the Pandavas, and in that way there will be some peace. Your children will live and they should also live, said. And Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke all these things and Dhritarashtra wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. He says to Vedavyas, whatever you have told me about dharmam, religious principles, spiritual life, knowledge of the self, I also know, he says. I also know all these things. But only thing is, I'm not going to do it, he says. So this was his reply. So at the very peak, at the last minute, Pandavas thought that Krishna should go and talk to them. Yeah.
So Krishna went to the assembly, Dhritarashtra's assembly. And in that assembly, Duryodhana was there, all the big stalwarts were there, Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, everybody was there. And while Krishna wanted to talk to Dhritarashtra about this message, what he has brought from the Pandavas, for a short time, Krishna gave this ability for Dhritarashtra to see things. He was by nature, by birth, blind he was, wasn't he? He was blind, he couldn't see anything. So at that point when he was going to talk to Dhritarashtra, he gave this ability for Dhritarashtra to see Krishna's universal form. Krishna presented the universal form there. Krishna presented universal form in several instances, as you know. In Bhagavatam there is three or four times. In Bhagavad Gita there is once. And in Mahabharatam there is once, like this. So many times Krishna has shown the universal form, who he is, so that others know who he is. So when Krishna showed the universal form, Dhritarashtra was given the vision to see that universal form. Even after showing this universal form, Dhritarashtra won't change. Imagine that. Dhritarashtra won't even change still, will not accept anything. Still he decided, he says, I know who Krishna is, but I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. That was the point. So when they mentioned this to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra says to Vedavyas later, that I know who Krishna is. Vedavyas said, he has come and he will smash the whole thing down. Every one of you will be gone from here. The whole race will be finished, he said. He gave this warning. Nothing will be left behind. Just like if somebody comes and tells us that, look, tomorrow there will be a nuclear bomb will be dropped here. The whole UK is finished. What will we do? We'll say, okay, let the bomb come. If we are Dhritarashtra, that's what we will say. Isn't it? Let the bomb come. If we are not Dhritarashtra, what will we say? We'll find out what's the reason who wants to drop the nuclear bomb and look for some solution from that. That is more intelligence, isn't it? Of course, if it has to drop, it'll drop. But that's another thing. What I'm saying is, Dhritarashtra's mentality was like this. If it is going to happen, what can I do? But I will not change. So somebody mentioned about this Krishna. Now you know who Krishna is, he says to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra said, yes, I know who he is, he said. Somebody mentioned this to Duryodhana. Duryodhana also sees the universal form. Duryodhana says, it's some magic he is doing, he says. Our great, good, intelligent man, Duryodhana, says, it's some magic he is playing. Whatever it is, I'm not bothered about it, he said. So the war happened. But if you go back a little bit more in the history, you will see that Gandhari and Kunti Devi and Madri. Gandhari was Dhritarashtra's wife, Kunti Devi and Madri was Pandu's wife, isn't it? Pandu died. When Pandu died, Madri committed sati. Sati was the system then that such chaste wives who who jumps into the fire at the time of death, when the husband leaves this world, she goes back with him to the higher state of existence. If he gets liberated, she gets liberated as well. This is the principle behind it, and sati was followed then by them. Of course, if we talk about sati today, it has no relevance. It won't happen, first thing. Husband will say, at least she's dead and gone, best for me. Wife will say the same thing. That is not much different. So anyway, that's a different world. We are talking 5,000 years ago, a different world altogether. So Madri committed sati. Kunti Devi stayed back. And Kunti Devi promised Madri that she will look after all the children. Kunti Devi also wanted to give up her body, but both of them gone, Pandu gone, Madri gone, then Kunti also left alone. Kunti Devi had to go through a lot of distress in life. The three, Yudhishthira, Bhima and Arjuna, plus Nakula and Sahadeva, five children, all very small. She had to bring them up. So, at that time, when Kunti Devi decided to stay back, but prior to that, Kunti Devi had these children. Before the children were born, Gandhari, when Gandhari came to know about Dhritarashtra was blind person, she, out of her chastity, she tied her eyes, isn't it? With the cloth she tied her eyes. And she decided that I will not see anything else except that till my husband has vision. Otherwise, as a sacrifice, she was doing that. From there you can see the difference between Gandhari and Kunti. Gandhari was trying to become a good wife, but she was a bad mother. Kunti Devi became a good mother. If the husband is blind, what should the wife do? Should she tie her eyes also and stay? She should rather help the husband to go in the right way. That is the wife's duty, isn't it? Wife should help the husband. If he can't see things, it is the wife's duty to tell the husband which is the right thing to do in life. But if she also closes her eyes and tightens up with her cloth, covers it up, then what can they understand? This Gandhari is the symptom of ignorance coming to a person's intelligence. Gandhari is the perfect example of that. Not knowing what to do the right thing in the right time in life. This Bhagavad Gita is not just history. There is a lot Vedavyas wants to tell us through that. And Tattva, we have to understand why Gandhari is depicted like this. Whether Gandhari tied her eyes with clothes, whether Gandhari killed herself, these are all not important issues for us. For us, the important thing is Gandhari tied her eyes down with the cloth. The reason the way it is explained is that the Gandhari is a perfect example of when your intelligence is covered by Maya. When Maya covers your intelligence, this is what you will do. You will do the wrong thing. Or from a dharmic level, it may look attractive. Oh, she has done such a big sacrifice to please her husband and never took anything for her own happiness. But the result was that she had this 101 children who were created havoc. Instead of bringing them up properly in the right path, she tied her own eyes down. Now, what are these children? These 101 children we talk about, Gandhari's children. If you look into the history, you will see, if you look back into the Mahabharata, you will see there that Gandhari was pregnant. Kunti Devi was also pregnant. Unfortunately, Kunti Devi's children were born first. When the children were born, Gandhari felt uneasy that Kunti Devi had children, I didn't have my children. So one day, in her madness, she cut open her stomach to see what was happening with the children. Some madness went in and a piece of flesh came out from inside. It's there in the Mahabharata, this story. We should know these things because Mahabharata was spoken to present Bhagavad Gita to us. Not the other way. Not that Bhagavad Gita came into Mahabharata. No. Mahabharata was spoken to present Bhagavad Gita to us. So, this first chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna Vishada Yogam, Arjuna's distress state, isn't it? There you will notice this one interesting thing, that Gandhari took out that piece of flesh and then realized that she has done something seriously wrong. So, by chance, Vedavyasa Maharshi comes there. When he came there, Gandhari complains to Vedavyasa that I didn't have any children and I cut open my stomach and this piece of flesh has come about. Vedavyasa says to her, don't worry, you have done it now, what can you do? Cut that piece, flesh into 100 pieces and put them in 100 pots. You know that, that they put them into 100 pots and poured some water, chanted some mantra and poured it into the pot. At that time, Gandhari's mind goes another direction. He says, I should have a daughter as well. 100 boys, what can I do? So, all right, there was one small piece left apparently. And that piece also, he cut it and put in another pot. And that's how Dushala was born, the one daughter. So, 100 boys and a girl was born from Gandhari. What is it indicating to us? Later on, Vedavyasa is saying that this piece of flesh, what has come from Gandhari's stomach, basically they are nothing but desires in a person. Why? Desires come from flesh, from dead matter. Look at Mahabharatam in this way. On the one side you have got the Kauravas. On the other side you have got the Pandavas. Pandavas were born from demigods. Devamsha Sambhavam they are, isn't it? All five children, Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadev, they were born from divine nature. In other words, they were direct representation of the demigods. Demigods have come in that form, isn't it? Yudhishthira Maharaj is Dharma, Indra is Arjuna, Ashwini Kumara is Sahadev, Nakula and Sahadeva. Why has come as Bhima? So demigods came here, so their birth through Kunti Devi is in a divine style, in pure consciousness it's happening. This birth of this Kauravas, who was born from flesh, is coming from Jadam. Jadam means dead matter, flesh, isn't it? Dead matter. Therefore, all that has taken birth from this have turned out to be like that, the way they are. And all that has come from Kunti Devi, because of the presence of these demigods, whose presence, they happen to be in the divine nature, in the divine way they have come about. Now, if you look at it this way, that anything that comes from Jadam, dead matter or flesh, anything, it is Ajnanam. Ajnanam only, nothing else. Ajnanam means what? Agraham, desires and desires and desires. Millions of desires comes from that. This is the reason why we say, if you increase your material education a lot, eventually it will drag you down to Jadam, to the dead matter. Because material education is all centered around Jadam, dead matter. Whereas spiritual education is centered around the soul, centered around the soul. If you continuously associate with the Jadam substance in this world, with matter, with dead objects, without any understanding of the soul behind it, all your education will drive deep down into ignorance at the end. That is why after a lot of material education and many years of life in this world, if somebody wants to come to spiritual life, it gets very difficult for them. Because of that deep level of ignorance that is developed inside, due to constant association with matter and constant association, all your intelligence, mind, everything is absorbed in the matter, and that too Jadam, dead matter. So this, for this reason alone, in the beginning of Mahabharatam itself, this warning is given. And that is what Ishopanishad is talking to us here. That if you do not take the soul seriously, constantly thinking in terms of matter, material life, material existence, material success, this, that and the other, all related to material life, eventually you are going to be doomed. There is no question about that. It's going to be doomed at the end. Why? Because whole life was cultivated in that direction, not for the realization of the truth. You are not searching the truth. You are actually searching for the falsities of this creation. This everything that has come, the material world that has been created, the manifested form of this world is nothing but ignorance. They have no reality. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that is why Krishna very clearly told us, this one verse, Nasade Vidyade Bhavo, you have to expand that and see why he spoke that verse. Nasade Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada, Ubhayoravi Drishtvandam Stanayor Tattva Darshivi. One who has seen the Tattvam, they have already established, the more you go deep down into the matter, to Jadam, it has to create the byproducts that comes from that will be destructive. That's why the learned sages are telling us, don't go in that route. See, nuclear arms, again the same problem. Nuclear, we have developed all these things. It has to be used one day. It's not going to stay there like that. Who will start? Nobody knows. Whether India will start, Pakistan will start, Israel will start, Iran will start, America will start, Russia will start, nobody knows. But somebody has to start one day. It will become, and that could be developed. Why? The same thing. This is knowing all these consequences of this. Sages are telling us, don't get absorbed in that. Escape from here. In this world, it is impossible to change these things. They will happen in its own way. What we have been given is an opportunity to escape from here. That's all. That is self-realization. That escape is a self-realization. That's all you can do here. You can't do anything about this world. That's not in your hands. That has been set aside by some other higher forces. Will function and will happen in that way. The opportunity given to us is how to utilize this chance. And you can see here how our so-called material success, name, fame, assets, property, wealth, whatever we have, friends, society, all that what we call, everything will go. Everything has to go. They cannot exist because they are not sat. They are all asat at the end. So that is why purnatvam is important. Purnatvam is where we have shelter. If we know we are complete and we are not lacking anything, all we have, Bhagavad Gita is saying this and Ishvara is also saying to us, get rid of that ajnanam from inside, the ignorance from inside. That's what it is. So Gandhari in Mahabharatam is representing that ajnanam has gone into her intelligence, buddhi, her buddhi. So in such a situation, what time is it?
20 to 5, 10 minutes maybe.
So in such a situation, what will happen is, we will get dissolved into this ignorance more. And the more we get diluted with ignorance, that will become our identity. That means our bodily identity will increase and all the byproducts that comes from us, from our creation, will also be in the same way. It will go in the same direction. This is the reason why it is said. So when that happens, Bhagavad Gita starts there. That's where Bhagavad Gita's beginning is. If you remember, Krishna says there that all these soldiers who are standing there in the battlefield, isn't it? And Kathopanishad verse, Prabhupada is quoted there, Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi, the famous words, isn't it? Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi, Shariram Rathamevaja, Buddhistu Saradhim Vidhi, Manam Pragrahamevava. You know that verse, isn't it? We discussed that. It is in the 4th or 5th chapter, Prabhupada quotes there, isn't it? Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi. So, the whole battlefield is full of chariots. Krishna compares, Kathopanishad is comparing, each one of us is a chariot. This body is a chariot. And in this chariot, the jiva, the living entity, is the passenger. The senses are the horses of the chariot. There is that famous comparison, Rathakalpana, it's called. Rathakalpana means, you remember that photograph in the front page of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna and Arjuna are sitting in the chariot, Krishna holding the rein, the horses, five horses, Krishna holding the rein, Arjuna sitting behind, and the chariot is moving. And there we have seen, when we discuss Bhagavad Gita, that the the rein is the mind, the horses are the senses. And Krishna is present as the charioteer, isn't it? From Gandhari's example, you have to know, if you have the right person to tell you in the intelligence what's the right thing to do, you can escape all miseries in this world, from all kinds of unhappiness. That is why he's called Sarathi, the charioteer. Charioteer role is a very important role in the battlefield, isn't it? If you have a good charioteer, he will get you out of any bad situation. Best example is Krishna himself. Krishna was the charioteer. When Arjuna was weak and Arjuna was in great distress, Krishna lifted him up and made him to fight the war, isn't it? With full courage he fought. In spite of all the people who were in front of him, Arjuna fought the war. Why? Although he was very depressed and he was in complete crisis at the beginning. So Krishna brought him up. That is the role of the Sarathi, charioteer's role. Look at this side. The other side, if you look, equally powerful as Arjuna was Karna sitting there on the opposite side. Isn't it? Who was more powerful than Arjuna. But look at his charioteer. You know who his charioteer was, isn't it? Shalya. And this Shalya, word Shalya means one who gives trouble all the time. Shalyam. We say Shalyam. So it means he's only creating trouble. Troublemaker. So there what happened? When continuously he was talking to Karna, you're not going to make it. Don't waste your time fighting this war. Somebody sitting with you and telling you all the time like this, what will you do? And when the chariot went down, Shalya says, that's not my duty. to worry about. I have done my part. This is the Karna's chariot here. So there, in the case of Arjuna, you had Krishna to pull him up. In the case of Karna, there was Shalya to pull him down. Pull him down. That's what they did. So in other words, it is so important that to have the right advice in life when we live in this world. And if it doesn't come from the right place, that intelligence is all useless, what we have got. And that is the reason why Bhagavad Gita also says, Vishwamitra also says here, Purnam, completeness is only in the soul. And it is there you have to turn to for advice, not to anything else in this world. If we look for advice from other sources, it could be like a Gandhari state we can end up with, or in a Karna state. Therefore, Krishna is saying also in the Bhagavad Gita the same thing, that when the instructions come from the source, that's all spiritual life is about, that turning our attention towards the soul and looking for direction from the soul, and things will come out properly. That's what self-realization means. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, we'll have 2 minutes kirtan and then. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada.